Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Come on, Central Campus! Come on! Let's let San Diego know that there's a church alive, there's a church on fire, there's a church ready, not for ordinary, but for extraordinary. Come on, don't clap normal. Come on, don't shout normal. Come on, Jesus, we thank you that tonight will change history. Tonight will change generations. Tonight will change our city. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. They gave me a rag. I've come to the realization that if I wear a jacket, I have to have a sweat rag. It was a hard decision, but I needed it. Once you start spraying the sweat off of your face when you preach, you have to do something, for sure. Hey, let me say two things really quick before we get into the message, and if you could stay standing, that'd be great. And first one, taking over Thursday nights, what we really believe is God has commissioned us to raise up influencers. That God has not called us to take youth out of the world, but to develop them to change the world. And so what you have to understand is Thursday nights was actually probably one of the hardest decisions that we made, because we love Friday nights. We love what it did. We love that we could party late and all that good stuff. But God convicted us and said, oh, so you don't want to change it because of pride. And so we, you know, listened to the advice of the team and God, and moved it so that we could develop the teenagers to then be at their school on ASB, a part of the student body, a part of football, to change their school for Jesus. And so partner with us and be bringing people to this thing September 7th when it launches and when it changes, because I guarantee it's going to be something that nobody has ever seen before. So let's do it. Amen? Okay. Second thing to kind of prepare you for the message is this. I was driving to youth maybe 2 months ago. I was driving to youth, and God gave us a vision that we would be in a Qualcomm stadium, in a stadium like that with teenagers and young people around San Diego, filling a stadium and be a new thing that God is going to do. And I'm driving to youth, and as we're driving to youth, I'm thinking, God, can you? God, can you do it? Because sometimes the vision God has given you seems so impossible and so big. And I said it. I said, God, can you? And I remember so clearly God speaking to me on the way to church, and he said this. He said, if you only knew. If you only knew what I could do. So tonight, I don't know what it is that God has spoken to you, what vision he has given you for your family, for your business, for that thing that you know is there from God. And you're just like me. You said, God, can you? Can you? The word of God to you tonight is this: if you only knew. If you only knew what he could do. He's just looking for somebody to step out and do what nobody else has done. And that's what's going to happen. Just lift your hands. Let me pray. God, I thank you for this night. I thank you that we serve a God of the impossible. So tonight, before we even start, increase our faith. Increase our trust. Help us to see what nobody else is seeing. Help us to do what nobody else is doing. We thank you that you are here. And where you are, the impossible becomes normal. We worship you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, give somebody a high five. You can take your seat. You guys cool? Stay up? Come on, it's a team effort tonight. Sunday night, 5 p.m., we're going to preach together, baby. It's all of us, the bass, the guitar, the drums. Isaac, so good to see Isaac down here. And we're gonna do this thing together. I'm not going to hold back tonight. Not like I ever do, but I just figure, why not? It's the last service before Monday, okay? Everything you learned today gets applied tomorrow. So I figured we might as well go out with a bang. So whatever is going on, I know some people might be tired. You're already thinking about the lunches you got to pack tomorrow, about how early you got to get up to take the kids to school, or you're thinking about your first class at your first day of high school that's happening tomorrow. But I want you to take that thought, and I wanted to put it behind you so that you can receive what God wants to do tonight. What God wants to do tonight. We have one of our youth leaders at our North Campus. His name is Beaver Fleming. Beaver Fleming. That's his name. It's crazy. His real name is Christopher, but everybody calls him Beaver. Beaver is a pro skater. He traveled with Nitro Circus, still travels with them, and is really all around the world. He was at the X Games this year. One of the greatest guys you'll ever meet. The thing about Beaver Fleming is he is unlike every other skater out there. There's no other skater like him. There's no other person like him. How he skates, how he celebrates. Right now, it's kind of cool. If you're a skater, that you kind of just don't really show emotions. You just kind of, you're cool. Like, yeah, man, it's no big deal. I know I'm at the X Games, but it's all cool. Beaver Fleming is the opposite. If you watch YouTube him tonight, if you watch anything that he does, if he falls on his face, he gets up and he's like, woo, yeah! Like, he's pumped out of his mind. He was in Australia, and the Australian commentators were so fired up, calling him Beaver, a man of the people, because he was firing everybody up. Here's the thing, that Beaver is not just that way just in how he celebrates and how he acts, but he's actually that way in even how he skates. He has made up his own moves. He has made up his own techniques. If you watch him skate, when he jumps through the air on this thing called a mega ramp that we're going to have here at Stadium Night in a couple weeks, that if you watch him, he flies off this thing and does maneuvers that nobody has ever seen before or ever done before. So we kind of have this phrase for Beaver Fleming, and it's this. We tell him all the time, man, Beaver, you're changing the game. You're changing the game. You're doing what nobody has ever done before. And so the title of this message tonight is that, is changing the game. Changing the game, because we believe that God has called us, just like Pastor John was saying, to change the game. Why not have a church sponsor an event? Why not have a youth ministry sponsor surfers? Why not have it? Why are we only thinking what has been done? And I'm going to get there. I'm going to get more to that in just a minute. But this is what it says in Isaiah chapter 43, Isaiah chapter 43 in verse 18, says, do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Two things. It's new and it's now. I will do a new thing. And I will do it now. See, tonight, this message and tonight is all about that. It's all about changing the way that we think, changing what's been ingrained in us, changing what we've been taught, changing what people have spoken to us, changing what we've read, changing what we even learned in college, that we can only do one thing. I know tonight there's businesses dormant in here waiting to be started. There's influences in here that God is waiting to emerge. And I'm not just talking about 20-year-olds or 30-year-olds. I'm talking about 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds. Caleb at 80 says, give me my mountain. There is something that God wants to do, and he wants to do it new. He wants to change the way that we think. He wants to change the way that we act. He wants to change the way that we even pray. He wants to change the way that we worship God. He wants to change everything that you and I have ever known about serving God, because God wants to do something new tonight. He wants to do anew. That's why when I get up, I'm telling you to clap like you never clapped, shout like you never shouted, worship like you never worshiped. Because when you just keep doing the same things over and over and over and over again, you lose the power that God is trying to impart to you. If Jesus was here, how would we worship? I ask that, but the truth is, he is. He's here. How do we pray? He's here. How do you think? God wants to do something new. Now, let me tell you this, that we sing songs, we pray, and I'm guilty of it doing it, and it's okay to an extent. When we pray prayers and sing songs like this, God, do it again. God, do it again. What you did for them, do for me. What you did before, do it now and do it here. God, do it again. And I believe those prayers do stir the heart of God. But sometimes I wonder that when we pray those prayers and God doesn't answer, I wonder if it's because he doesn't want to. I wonder if it's because God says, you're praying to have me do it again, but I've already done it. I've already did it once. Stop praying prayers that I've already answered 2,000 years ago and start praying a prayer that nobody has ever thought of before. Start dreaming a dream that nobody has ever dreamt before. I believe the prayers that stir God's heart the most are the prayers that when we pray them, God says, there it is. That's what I've been looking for. Somebody who dared to believe what nobody has ever dreamt of before. Somebody who's never thought of this way before, but yet a church in San Diego thought about it. They didn't think, God, do it again, but their prayer was, God, do it new. What you've never done. What you've never done. I don't want to have a worship experience like others have had it. Our God is not a boring God. He's not a God that can only do one thing and one miracle in one way. He's a God that can give you a revelation every single day. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. If his mercy is new every morning, then you better believe his creativity is too. His miracles are too. Every aspect of God is new every single morning. But we have to access that thing. We got to tap into that thing and say, God, I thank you for the new thing you're doing. The new prayers, the new businesses, the new dreams. Instead of God, do it again. God, do what you've never done. Help me to think and dream and believe. What if we have businessmen and women in here right now that even while we're preaching and even while the service is going on, or people who are at home watching live, what if you started believing and thinking about something that's never been done? A business that has never started before. Ground that's never been taken. What people have actually said is impossible and can never happen. What if you started believing for it? What if you started praying that we would not just sell out events, but we would grow so much that we'd be forced to do more and more and more and more? What if we believe for that? Let me tell you why we need to believe. We need to believe because Jesus did it. And he modeled it. Let me read you this scripture in Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3 is a story. It's a story of Jesus kind of right after he started his ministry. The Bible says this. In Mark chapter 3, if you have it, if you have your Bible, you can turn to it. If not, you can write it down. Mark chapter 3 and verse 1, it says this, and he entered the synagogue. Again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. Before I continue on, I need you to know that people are watching to see if you're going to do something that's never been done. People are always watching. People are always looking. The sad thing is that people have looked at the church and have only just seen something that has always been done. But what if they looked at C3 San Diego and said, man, there's something that's never. What if it looked like Pastor John was saying and saw, man, I've never seen a church sponsor an event like that. I've never seen a church sponsor pro athletes before. I've never seen a church have that much influence before. I wonder if we can be those people because the world is watching. The world is watching and God is looking and God is asking, is there a church that believes? Is there a people that could get out of our own way and say, God, do it new. Help me to dream like I never dreamt. Help me to pray like I've never prayed. Help me to believe how that I've never believed. But the thing is, we cannot keep doing and living the same way and expecting God to do something new. The Bible says that Jesus walks into the church on Sunday, and he said to the man who had a withered hand, step forward. Then he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Let me tell you why this is so incredible. Because for hundreds of years, nobody had ever done what Jesus just did. For hundreds of years, nobody even thought or dared to dream and believe that something like that could ever happen. But I love Jesus because Jesus, everywhere he went, he changed the game. Everywhere he went, he did what nobody else was doing. The Bible says that a man came to him with leprosy, and Jesus touched what everybody said was impossible and unlawful to touch. A woman came who committed adultery, and everybody said, the law says we must stone her and kill her. But Jesus picks her up and restores her. Everywhere Jesus went, he did something new. We read about it, and we take it for granted because we read about it all the time. But can you imagine at that time what the world might have been thinking? We think that Jesus turned the world upside down. He didn't. He turned it right side up. Because new is not meant to be out of the ordinary. It's meant to be ordinary. It's meant to be normal. It's meant to be every day. It's meant to happen all the time. Everywhere he went, he changed the game. Everywhere he went, he did what nobody else was doing. And so we see this in the life of Jesus. We see this in the life of people who started great revivals all around the world. People who started businesses. People who've had these ideas. And we think that all the good ideas are gone. They're not. We see people who've changed their high school and we think, man, it's impossible because the government is keeping us from doing something significant in our schools, in our colleges, in our high schools, in our junior highs. But God is looking for a people. God is looking for us. He's looking for ordinary people to believe for extraordinary things. Can we be it? Can we stop living the same way? When we walk out of these doors tonight, when we go back to our job, can we step into our workplace with a different way of thinking? But we have things that keep us and hinder us from doing new and believing new and believing that God can do what he's never done before. And we see it here in this story, and we see it even in the life of Queen Esther. But in this story right here, Jesus steps in and does what nobody else is doing. The truth is, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead was the same power that lives in us. The truth is, those people who were watching, trying to accuse Jesus, could have been the ones that said, stretch out your hand, you can have a miracle. The reason they did it, a lot of us would think it's fear or insecurity or disappointment or something in their past, or it's the law. And where that might be true, I believe the biggest reason that you and I stop believing for new things is a thing called position. Is a thing called position because we know if we do what nobody else is doing, we might lose the position that we're in. The position as the cool kid. The position as the most popular. The position as the CEO of the business we're in right now, even though God is calling you to start a new one. The position. The position as this person in the synagogue who had it for so many years and was living comfortably. Because if I believe for new, I have to give up the position I'm in. I have to give up where I'm at. I have to give up how I believe. I have to give up how I act. I have to give up the people who've been waiting on me and serving me, so I don't want to give it up. Queen Esther the same way. I don't believe it was just fear that was about to keep her from being the voice for the Jewish people at that time. I believe it was the position because she thought at one point, man, you don't know what I've been through to get here. You don't know what I've been through to get to this position, to this place. And position keeps us from all that God has for us. Position keeps us from influencing the world. Position keeps us from influencing our city. Position keeps us from changing the world. Because we're afraid of what we're going to lose instead of what we might gain. And that's how we live our life. But let me give you this story, and I'll give you the solution to position. During World War II, there was a lady named Irina Sendler. Irina Sendler was a nurse. She would go into the concentration camps where the Jewish people were being held. She would go into these concentration camps, and she was the nurse for people and certain things. But then she saw how the Jewish people were being treated, specifically the little children. So she stood there, and one day she said, somebody has to do something about this. So Irina Sendler started every day smuggling little Jewish children out of the concentration camp. The story says that sometimes she would put them in a toolbox and smuggle them out of this concentration camp. She would carry them in baskets. She would carry them and get them out however she could. One day she was caught and accused of maybe smuggling these Jewish children out, and they tried to get it out of her. They tried to get her to confess, but she refused to confess even after they broke both of her legs and tortured her. She refused to give up anybody or anything. They threw her on the streets and people rescued her. Now she had crutches, and everywhere she goes, she had to have crutches. She still continued to rescue little Jewish children every day, day after day after day after day, kept doing it. By the end of the war, she had saved 2,500 children. 2,500 children that certainly would have died. 2,500 children whose families are alive today. Because one woman said, instead of position, I choose purpose. The solution to our position is a thing called purpose. The solution to our position is a thing called purpose. The solution to us thinking new tonight is a thing called purpose. Purpose is what makes somebody alive living. Purpose is what makes your heart beat for something. Purpose is what keeps you alive and what wakes you up. And when you go into your school, man, you can go in and you can change it. You can flip it right side up. Purpose is what wakes you up at 5 a.m. to pray for that new business that you know God has planted in your heart. Purpose is what makes you worship God like you never worshiped Him before. Because you know there's a city in a world that is out there right now relying on you. Purpose gets you up. Purpose inspires you. See, a lot of people think, man, isn't Pastor Chittick passionate when he preaches? Yes, I'm passionate, but it's more purpose than it is passion. It's more purpose because I know God has given me a mandate to give everything inside of me to maybe wake up the people of God and say we can live for something so much greater. There is so much more. There is so much more. And if we knew it, if we understood it, it would change the game. It would change not just the city. It would change the world. If we could do new. If we could believe what nobody else is believing. But we need purpose. Just like Irina Sendler. Just like so many of these other people around the world. We're living in it right now. Most of us have iPhones. If you love Jesus, you have an iPhone. At one point, this was new. We take it for granted. But at one point, somebody believed and dared to dream that something that's never been done could be done. What are we believing for tonight? What are we dreaming for? What are we hoping for? I'm going to kind of come to the crescendo or whatever it's called. So maybe just change a little bit and we're going to fire them up. Cool? We good for it? All right. Romantic music over. War music on. Ready? Okay. Let's do this thing. Because we need purpose. Because we need purpose. See, I understand. I understand how it's meant to be. I understand how we're meant to change our school. I understand how the discipleship process is meant to happen. I understand how people have done it for centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries. I understand that. But I wonder, are there something inside of me that knows how it's been done, but something in my spirit is crying out that there's got to be something new. There's got to be a new way of thinking, a new way of praying, a new way of living, a new way of sacrificing, a new way of giving. There's got to be it. Because I serve a God that doesn't want us to live off of yesterday's revelation. I serve a God that says this: we need to be constantly filled. Not a one-time filling of the Holy Spirit, but a filling every morning when I wake up. God, my God, fill me again. Fill me again. Fill me again. Give me a new dream. Give me a new hope. Give me a new vision. Some people out there right now, you think your marriage is over, but God says, no, it's not over. It's new. It's new. And it's now. It's right here. And it's right now. I wonder if there's people out there that can believe it. Let me tell you the secret. The secret to believing new, the secret to dreaming again, the secret to doing what nobody else is doing is really simple. We just got to get around Jesus. We just got to get around him. Let me tell you why. In Mark chapter 2, there's four men. Four men wake up, they hear that Jesus is in a house. They get up and they go to their friend who cannot walk on their own, and they pick this man up and they take him. They say, hey, we heard that a guy that does miracles is in this house. So they pick up their friend, doesn't say what he wants, doesn't even say if he even knows what's about to happen, but they come and they pick him up and they carry him to this house. When they get to the house, they see that there's a crowd around Jesus, so much so that they can't even get close enough to see Jesus. And I believe at that moment, as they couldn't get near Jesus, the first thought in their head was, well, we'll try another day. We'll come back when it's not so busy. When he's not so busy with other people, we'll come back. I believe that was the first thought. But as they pick him up to go home, I believe at that moment, all four men stopped. And they put him down. And they said, everything that we used to know is telling us maybe we should come back another day. Maybe we should wait until it's not so busy. But I believe those four men stopped and said, but there's something about being around this man. There is something when I just get around his presence, when I just get around him, that what I thought was normal changes. What I thought should be done changes. There is something that when I get around his presence, he causes me to say, what if? What if we didn't stop? What if we didn't go home? What if we didn't do what everybody else has ever done? And what if we pick him up? And what if we dare to dream that we can do what nobody else has ever done, so we can see what nobody else has ever seen? So these four men pick this man up and they start walking, the Bible says, up the roof of the house. And I believe as they walked up it, this was their prayer. What if? What if? What if? What if? What if we could see what we've never seen? What if by us doing what we've never done, we can see a miracle as they're opening up the roof of their house? What if? What if nothing is impossible? What if the sickness is not a blockage, but just a hurdle? What if this diagnosis is not an end, but just the beginning? What if? What if what everybody has said is not the final say, but what if? What if we do what nobody else is doing? As they open the roof and as they lower him down, what if? What if I could just get him around him? The lady with the issue of blood, what if I can just touch him? What if I could just get close enough to touch his clothes? That everything that the doctor said was impossible can become possible. What if tonight, while you're sitting at home and you wanted to believe that God could do exceedingly abundantly above, what if you just got up off your chair and worshiped like you never worshiped? What if you got out of your seat tonight and did what nobody has ever done before? What if? What if San Diego's waiting for it? What if your family's waiting for it? What if our schools are crying out? Is there anybody? Is there anybody who still will say, what if? Is there anybody who is so desperate to get around the presence of God that they'll climb a roof and open the hole up and say, what if? What if? Just get me to him. Whatever I gotta do, whatever price I gotta pray, whatever prayer I gotta pray, however I gotta worship, sign me up. Because he wants to do it new, and he wants to do it now. Stand to your feet. What if four men changed everything? Can we be the same? Can we do it now? Can we do it new? Can we be the ones? Can we be the church? Can we be the people that so believe God, that so believe in His Word, that so believe in His promises, that so believe that what His Bible says is true, that so believes that He who started a good work will be faithful to complete it? Can we believe that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same one that lives in us, that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Can we be the people? Can we be the people that walk through the desert and get to a place and we look around? We look and there's no other footprints around us because we are now in a territory that nobody's ever been in before. We try to ask, what should I do? And people say, I don't know. I've never believed that big. I've never dreamed that big. I've never had faith that large. And we step into uncharted territory and the only person we can trust in is Him. We can believe Him. Can we be those people? Can we believe that the greatest miracles are still yet to be seen? Can we be the ones that worship, a worship that catches the attention of God? Paul talks about giving and he says a sweet smelling aroma, an offering that catches His attention, that Jesus up in heaven and God up in heaven is doing something, but then He stops. He says, what is that sound? What is that that I hear? Who has caught it? And he looks at C3 San Diego, says, there's a bunch of people. There's some people in this church. There's some people in this city that still believe I can do it new. There's some people that still believe I can do what nobody has ever dreamt about, thought about, imagined. God wants to do it new. And He wants to do it now. When everything's better, I'll do it. When everything's lined up, I'll do it. When everything's okay, I'll do it. When I'm bold, I'll do it, because we think that boldness comes and we go. Courage comes and then we go. We think that courage is the absence of fear, but it's not. It's the determination that something is more important. We want to wait until everything is perfect, but God says, don't wait, just go. Because when you go, it comes. When you go, boldness comes. When you go, faith comes. When you go, what you didn't think you had comes, but we just got to be the people that go. We got to be the people that has obedience, that will obey God. Whatever you're calling me to do, wherever you're calling me to go, whatever you're calling me to believe, there are some people in here right now, and God is calling you out of that boat you've been in and causing you to dream bigger, believe bigger. We can see it. We can see every person in this city know Jesus. We can see what nobody has ever seen before. We can be it. We can live in a revival that's new. There's a story of Evan Roberts, and he has a Welsh revival where on Sunday, stadiums were empty and bars were empty and every church was overflow. And I thank God for what happened. I thank God for him. But God doesn't want to do that. He's done it already. The thing with all those other stuff is they ended with the man of God. God wants to do something new that does not end when we die, but it only grows. That does not stop when we stop, but only gets bigger. The new thing I'm talking about is a revival that Sunday stadiums will be empty and churches will be filled. But when we die and the man of God disappears, it continues to grow. A passion that shows shakes the inside of people that they realize there is a purpose far greater than anything else. And every gift, every talent, every ability I have is to connect people to the kingdom of God. But I wonder, it has to start here. It has to start with some people. It has to start with the church. It has to start with some leaders. It has to start with us. Somebody has to do what nobody's ever done before. What do I mean by that tonight? I know we have methods. I know we have routine. I know that we have order sometimes. That I know that you're used to walking to the altar. I know that you're used to being polite when you come to the altar and you wait for the opportunity. But I wonder if just for one night, I wonder if just for one moment, for 15 minutes, if we could be the church that is not waiting for a pastor to count to three, that is not waiting for all eyes to be closed, I wonder if there's anybody in the back, anybody in the middle, anybody in the front that is so desperate for God to move that we won't do what's been done. We won't believe what's been believed. We won't worship how people are worshiped, but we will do it new. We will do it now. Is there anybody who cares more about doing something great for God than fitting in? Is there a church that will be the people that believes God, do it new. God, do it now. God, here in my life, in my time, at this moment. I want to see what we've never seen. I want to see stadiums filled and never empty. I want to see schools with principals encountering the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to see colleges before school starts, on every stadium, on every field, crying out for their nation, crying out for the world. I want to see it. God, we believe that you can do it new. We believe that you can make a road in the wilderness and a river in the desert. We dare to dream. We dare to believe that nothing is impossible. We dare to believe that what if we're going to rip the roof off? We're going to believe. Come on, come on. We're going to sing this out right now. Sing it like it's your first time. Sing it. Sing it like your city depends on it. Like your nation is asking for it. Somebody cry out to him tonight. Listen, I want to pray for anybody who's in here tonight. You know, God has given you an idea. I think specifically it's a business idea that you think is so far out there. And you're saying, God, I need confirmation. Is this you? And you know that God has put this in your spirit. I want to pray for you. I want you to lift your hands right now. Right there with those hands up. There's a world waiting to be changed. I want to pray for those people as well right now. Well, you've been discouraged for so many years. It is nearly impossible for you to believe that God can do it new. Discouragement has been the God that you worshiped. And tonight you want to step into a new thing where you can dare to believe again that what everybody has said is impossible, God can do it. If that's you right now, I want you to lift your hand. Discouragement has ruled you. And you need to believe for new. And you need to believe for now. God wants you to know, as you lift your hands, God is going to impart faith, hope, purpose. Purpose that is bigger than your position. Purpose that is bigger than any giant that is out there. God is waiting. Thank you, God. Come on, lift your hands. God, right now, I thank you for every hand that is lifted up. God, I specifically pray for every person who has an idea for a business or for a plan or for something that they thought was impossible. God, I pray that you would give them the faith to believe for it. God, that they would see it before they possess it. God, that they would see it in their spirit. They would feel it in their spirit, that they would know that you have called them to do this. God, give them the faith to believe. Get them the people around them that can surround them with wisdom and understanding. God, I thank you that even in the darkest times, they would still believe that you have placed this in their heart. God, that they would have a new way of thinking. I thank you that the greatest businesses are still yet to be built. God, that every person with their hand lifted up is a millionaire in waiting, is a person with influence. God, I thank you that we will see like we've never seen before. God, that some people in here are going to be ones who sponsor events, are going to be people who do what nobody has ever done before, people who buy buildings just with their overflow, people who buy buildings around San Diego, that when a campus needs to be built, you're the first one forward that says, because of this new idea, because of this new dream, I'll buy it. Sign me up, I'll be the person, because I dare to believe that what man said was impossible, I believe that all things are possible. I stopped believing that this thing was a barrier, and I started believing that it was just a hurdle, that God was giving me the strength to jump over. God, I pray for every person who discouragement has been their God. Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I break discouragement. I break the back of that thing in Jesus' mighty name. I declare that disappointment will no longer rule in every mind and in every thought. That comparison will not rob them of contentment. God, we break comparison. We break disappointment. We break anything that is not of you. And I thank you that right now, as we worship and as we sing, that God, oh God, you're doing a new thing and you're doing it now. That in every hand that is lifted up, you're making a river in their desert. You're making a road in their wilderness. I thank you, God, that we are changing the game tonight in our city, in our state, and in our nation. We thank you, God, for a church that refuses to do the ordinary, that refuses to do what everybody else is doing. I thank you for Central Campus. I thank you for a campus that is changing the game, that is doing what no other campus is doing, that is daring to believe, that is daring to believe that just because they're sick doesn't mean they can't get better. A campus, God, that will infiltrate every college, every workplace, every neighborhood, every high school, every middle school. God, a campus that lifts their eyes and sees that my help comes from you, that my trust is found in you. I thank you for a campus that redefines what leadership is, what redefines what purpose is, what redefines what passion is, that redefines what serving God is, what redefines what generosity looks like. I thank you for a campus that doesn't stop at 10%, but a campus that gives everything above and beyond what anybody could have done. A campus that buys buildings. A campus that fills leadership. A campus, God. We thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. We believe tonight that all things are possible. We believe that we're stepping into new, and we're stepping into it now. In Jesus' name, amen. listen, listen. I want you right now to stretch your hands out to the worship team. Stretch your hands out to them right now. Come on, lift your hands up, worship team. Right now, we thank you, God, for a new sound. Thank you for a new sound. Thank you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Right now for a new sound, a new spirit right now in Jesus' mighty name. Right now, falling on these lives, a new song that will break chains, a new song that will set people free. What has never been done before, what has never been seen before, what has never been written before. Words that people said you're crazy for writing that down will be words that break chains, that break addictions, that break bondages in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you, God, for new leadership right now in Jesus' mighty name, a new leadership model and strategy that rivals things. God, I thank you for a new sound that emerges out of this life right now, out of this heart. God, I thank you for not something that is in the mind, but something that is in the spirit. Let something come out of this in Jesus' mighty name. For every single one of this team right now, let a new sound and a new spirit, God, a sound that changes things, a sound that shifts atmospheres in Jesus' name. For every person, for every one of these team right now, God, creativity is going to flow. Creativity is going to flow like it's never flown before in Jesus' name. Right now, we thank you, God, for this team. We thank you for this worship team, for what you're about to do. As I end, James Hurley, can you stand up? Come on, just lift your hands up. Lift your hands. Stretch your hands out to James. Just even on the way here, God wanted me to tell you this, that he's going to put a unique and new thought in your head. That sound engineers all over the world will look and say, that's crazy. They're going to look and say, that's crazy. That thought you had, that thing you wrote down, that idea, no, James, it can't be done. It's crazy. But you're not going to feel it in your mind. It's going to be in your spirit. And you're actually going to change the whole nature of sound engineering around the world. And what is going to happen is, what we have to understand is, oh, aren't they just sound guys that move things back and forth? No, they don't. They create atmospheres. And that thought and that idea that you have is going to create an atmosphere for churches around the world that they're going to walk in after changing, and they're going to say, something changed, something shifted, something is different. Do not let go of that. No matter how many people tell you you're crazy, God has placed that in your spirit and is from God. He makes a river in the desert. He's going to do that for you. He's going to do that in you. That the people you're going to teach, the people you're going to train up, the team that's around you is going to be a team like nobody has ever seen before. God is putting an anointing on you to raise up team like never before, to bring a unity in the team that people said, man, it's nearly impossible to bring unity in these teams. God is going to place in you a spirit to bring unity, a spirit to do what nobody else is doing. And Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name, God, I thank you for a new sound over this team, a new sound over the worship team, a new spirit that doesn't care about platform, that doesn't care about position, but only cares about purpose. We thank you, God, for something new in this house, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, lift your hands. 6:30, right on the dot. God, we thank you for what you did. God, I thank you that when you said, who can I send? Who will go for me? You found C3 San Diego that dared to believe that you still had some tricks up your sleeve. We trust in you. We hope in you. We believe. We believe that you can do what you never done. We'll be the generation, the last one you have to look to. We will be the ones. We thank you that it's now. That it's tomorrow at work. It's tomorrow at school. It's something new. Your biggest fight will just be to be around Jesus. Because the more you can be around Jesus, the more you'll believe what nobody else is believing. That's your battle. Fight to be around him. Fight to be with him. Fight to be next to him. Fight to be in church. That's why we want people in church. That's why we bring. That's why we invite. Because every time you come, you connect to a presence that makes you say, what if? What if I can get healed? What if I can be restored? What if? That's why we're relentless at inviting and bringing. God, right now, put your spirit on this church. We thank you, God, for an extraordinary year, for an extraordinary spirit resting on every person who is here and every person who is online watching right now. We thank you, God, that they receive something wherever they are around the world. God, let it not stop here, but let it leave here with us so we can change our city, we can change our nation, and we can change the world. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 We love you, church. Have a great week. We'll see you next week right here. We love you. See you next week.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.